Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, so this guy, Rashawn Evans, the linebacker for the Titans, he was busted. He was caught punching Jake Butt. 100-mile-an-hour haymaker. Just absolutely, the guy lost his mind. And just absolutely haymaker sucker punched the tight end. I mean, right in a jaw. And he had a helmet on, obviously. So he didn't even hurt him at all, but he definitely connected. And it was a vicious punch. Did you see it, Carver High?
I did see it. He got Jake pretty good on that swing. I saw him go into the locker room, but I wasn't sure if that was the guy who threw the punch or if he was just hurt. But now I know that that was the guy who threw the punch.
Well, they threw him out of the game. He's done. So they threw him out. He was ejected. So they did catch him. I had said earlier, right? I go, how do you have 15 reps or whatever on the field and you miss that? And meanwhile, you miss nothing. They don't miss anything. And I think what happened was, I actually think they missed it. And I think somebody from the league office called down to that field and said they saw it. And, you know, the video refs, I think the league office watches everything and they watch every play, the Denver just fumbled the ball. So that's just a huge turnover deep in their own end. And the Titans recover. So that's a massive mistake at around their 22.
And I was just going to say to you how the Titans have gotten absolutely really nothing going in this game. It was just like you had been saying before the game that, you know, this is the first game. These guys haven't played yet. The Titans were doing nothing. And then a big turnover, and that'll change things.
Yeah, that'll change things in a hurry because now they got the ball at the 23-yard line or whatever, 24-yard line, something like that. Anyway, it is like 23-yard line, but whatever. Anyway, the guy got kicked out of the game, and now the Titans have the ball after the running back just coughed it up horribly. 7-0 Broncos in the nightcap.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Five plays, 23 yards, 2.5 minutes, seven. If they kick the extra point, the Titans capitalize off of the atrocious turnover by the running back. Who fumbled that? Was that Gordon? I'm assuming.
It was Gordon who fumbled.
Start to your career in Denver, Mel. Oh, my God. What a horrible fumble. And just for no reason whatsoever, is there anything worse than the guy that fumbles on like the first down carry at your own 20? I mean, honestly, it was so bad. And then, you know, it's just automatic conversion that they're going to stick it down your throat. You can't get away with it. How about the Steelers? Deontay Johnson fumbles that punt at the beginning of the game. First drive. They stop the, you know, Giants are moving the ball. They finally stop them. They punt. And the kid, fair catches, fumbles the punt, and they get the ball at the 3-yard line. The Giants couldn't score. They got a field goal out of it. That was it. That's like a victory in itself for the Steelers. When you fumble and they get the ball at your own 3 and they can't stick it in, that's when you know you suck. Okay? So, and then how about the other one that they had going in that game? They had a big long drive. Did you see that one? And he got a pass deflected or whatever, and the Steelers picked it off at the goal line.
Yeah, that was that. And they were driving there; they would have made it a one-score game. And Dupree got on him, and that's just a play you can't do that. You can't even try what he was trying to do there.
Good. Do you think Dupree has become? Boy, is he an animal.
You can make a case Dupree was the best player on the field tonight. That's how good he was tonight.
He was the best player on the field. Let me ask you this question. When you watched the game and you saw the kid Connor get hurt again, I mean, this guy, he's like, it's unbelievable. Like, everybody talks about how great he is, and I actually talk about how he never plays. Okay, so he reminds me, as I said, of Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. He never plays. And they're talking about, oh, his contract's up at the end of the year. They got to give him a big deal. You know, they got to worry about a bunch of guys. Fitzpatrick, they got to worry about Dupree. They got a bunch of guys that their contracts are up, believe it or not. And Juju, his is up. And Connor's is up. I would let him go, like, right now. Because he's just never healthy. So, I mean, this has nothing to do with anything other than injuries. Okay. So it has nothing to do with cancer. It has nothing to do with anything. It has to do with he's injured a lot and he never plays. Okay. So if he's such a superstar, cause I've heard that he's this, what they call him, the bell cow or whatever. He's the man, right? That's the guy. But he never plays. So how does my ass sound? Bell cow what? What is that? I don't even know what that is. All I know is that Snell's better, and he bangs and runs and runs and runs like the ever-ready bunny. And meanwhile, the other guy's always injured. Just always injured. So what do you think? Am I wrong, Carver High?
I'm with you. I wouldn't give Connor any kind of contract at the end of the year. He is always hurt. I mean, look, and I know Benny Snell, you know, it's not something that would last long term, but like, you throw Benny Snell in the game tonight and he goes for $125. It's like, I mean, come on. Connor had a good first season 2 years ago when the year that Bell sat out. Connor had a really big year. He was great that year. And then last year, got hurt halfway through. Now this year, he's hurt already in the first half of the first game. just he's very brittle, very brittle. I would be leery of giving him big money, especially at the running back position.
6 carries, 9 yards, 2 catches, 8 yards. And the bottom line is, so he was targeted 4 times. And then his longest carry was 3 yards, and then he was injured. And then Snell had 113 yards, a 6-yard average, and his longest carry was 30. And then he also, I just thought came up huge for them tonight. He did everything. He had the best game, right? No questions asked. And I just think, you know, it's pretty obvious that he's going to be the man. And they have, like, you know, they have other guys. Samuels, he carried it once. But Snell's going to get that gig. And Connor, now, do you think if Connor is okay with his ankle, whatever, that he goes right back into the starting slot? Or do you think they realize that finally they just have to admit that Snell's better?
No, I mean, when he's healthy, they're going to play him. You know they are. They'll put Connor back in there. But he'll just get hurt again, and then Snell will play again. That's all.
What did you think of Ben Roethlisberger? He got sacked twice. Quarterback rating was 57.7. His overall 117.8. 7.2-yard average. 3 touchdowns. 229 yards. 21 to 32. I thought he came out. I thought the first quarter was a wash.
Yeah.
And I thought he looked average there, but then I thought that the rest of the game, he looked really good. I thought the one read for the touchdown that he threw up, that looping, like, you know, floater to Juju and running across the goal line was a beautiful play action, got everybody fooled and then threw it up in the air and Schuster ran underneath and caught it. Then he gave him another one later, another touchdown pass. I thought he looked, you know, overall, he hasn't played in a year. You can't tell me that guy didn't look good. And I was worried that, you know, he took the shot to the knee. He was limping around. I was like, you got to be kidding me. This guy's going to blow out his knee in the first game. Like, you know, you could just see it like an MCL, ACL, the way he took that shot and bent his knee back. And then he got up limping. Did you see all that? Were you worried at all that he was injured?
Yeah, a little bit because of what happened a year ago, obviously. And he has had some injuries over the years. But I thought that in the first quarter, you could definitely see a little bit of rust, a little bit of having to shake that off, maybe even halfway through the second. But on that touchdown drive to Juju, the first Juju touchdown, you could start to see him starting to heat up a little bit. And then as the game went on, things got a little bit more crisp. And it's just like with everything else we've been saying, there was no preseason. Like, Ben would have got to take a couple snaps in the preseason, maybe.
Right.
These guys he's playing legitimately for the first time since getting hurt a year ago, and it took him a quarter and a half to kind of knock a little bit of that rust off. And I thought he looked fine after that. He'll be dealing. He looks good.
So before I let it slip my mind, what did you think of the Giants in terms of, I thought Daniel Jones played pretty well, all things being equal. I thought he handled that pass rush the best he could. And I thought he got rid of the ball. I thought he made some really good passes. A couple of nice touchdown, or at least one nice touchdown pass late in the game. But he threw two of them. He threw the bomb early that gave him the lead, and then he threw the one late. What did you think of he threw for 279 yards, 2 TDs, but he threw 2 picks, and he got sacked.
The picks killed him. The picks hurt big time, and that's the thing with him is ball security. But I thought the first touchdown to Slayton was excellent. Thought he played really well considering he was running for his life and that he had absolutely no running game. How about Barkley tonight? 6 yards on the ground on like 20 carries. Every time they handed the ball off to Barkley, there was 4 Steelers, jumping on top of him. So the guy had no running game. You knew that he was passing pretty much every single down, and he still had a pretty good game, except he made a couple of bad decisions. You know, the second one you want to say a great play by Dupree, fine, but I still think Jones was kind of chucking it up there. But all in all, he shows you enough flashes that you think that he could be a pretty decent player in the league.
Yeah, the Steelers shut down Barkley. I thought Slayton had a big game, 102 yards, the receiver. And, you know, I thought that Blake Martinez had a big game, 12 tackles. They brought him over from Green Bay. I thought he played really well. I just wanted to look at the Steelers in terms of, you know, Edmonds had 9 tackles. Bush had 7 tackles. I mean, Dupree's a freak. He had 4 tackles, 3 solo, but 2 for loss and a pass defense. He's a badass.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
The Broncos had first and goal from the 3, and they couldn't score. They went for it on fourth down. Locke rolled out, then pitched it to Lindsay. He got stopped. Titans take over at the 1. So a huge fail by the Broncos to move all the way down the field and get to the 3. Can't move it in 3 plays, so you decide to go for it. And Vic Fangio, just, I think, a bad decision there, Carver. You can't gain 1 yard. Not 1 yard, and then you're going to try again? I mean, you can't gain a yard. It's time to kick the field goal and get the points. You couldn't get 1 yard, let alone 3. I mean, what are you doing, bro? Like, honestly, like, that's just flat-out bad coaching. That's like taking a risk for no reason whatsoever other than to fail.
I mean, I don't completely hate going for that there. On fourth and goal at the 1,
you can't get a yard.
Well, but that's the thing. I don't mind the idea. I just despise the play call. I thought that the play call was awful. If you're gonna run that play, you need to do something that you know is going to work. Instead, you have Locke throwing this like dopey flip to Lindsay. You could just see it was a disaster from the beginning. If you know you have a play fourth and goal from the 1 that is a winner, I don't mind taking that risk at home, a tie game, a lot of time left, being a little aggressive early in the game. I don't have a problem with it. But if you're going to run a play like that, I do have a problem with it.
Okay, well, how about this? When you're moving the ball down the field on a drive, right, and you have the ball and you're moving it and you're, let's say you've gotten 3 or 4 first downs and then you finally get in a situation where it's like, you know, 2nd and 9 and then 3rd and 3, and then it's 4th and a foot, you go for it, and you, in my view, as you've been moving the ball, have some semblance of a chance of success because you've had like 4 straight first downs, you've moved the ball 50 yards, and you're taking a risk to get the 1.5. But when you have a drive that's stalled at the 3, and it's 1st and goal from the 3, and you can't get 1 yard on 3 straight plays, what makes you think you're going to get 3 yards on the 4th play? You're just asking to turn the ball over. If you have a momentum drive and you're going for it on a 4th and 1 after you've gotten all these first downs and kept moving the ball, and you know, like the Steelers tonight had the 4th and 1 to put the game away, right? And they ran a play, like you said, a play that'll work, that'll get you the yard. But that crap play that they called, that's, to me, all on Fangio. A, bad decision to go for it when you can't get a yard, and then you didn't get a yard, and you got a half yard. And then the fourth, the call right. you know, was a bad play to begin with. He rolled out and then pitched it back. Like, what do you roll out? Don't you just drop back and pitch it instead of rolling out like you're going to run and then pitch it? When the entire defense is moving toward the quarterback, rolling to the side, that play's just not going to work against a good NFL line. And that's what the Titans have. They were in the AFC Championship game, for God's sakes, and now they've added Clowney. So you're not getting that play. It's not going to work.
Yeah, and the other thing that you need to do if you're going to try a play like that, and if you're going to try be aggressive like that and pin the other team inside your one if you don't get the touchdown on fourth, is your defense, then you have to have enough confidence in them to be good enough to stop that team three and out inside the five-yard line so that they're punting back to you and you're getting some decent field position. But guess what? Two, three plays later, the Titans are already moving down the field to the 30, 35-yard line. So you didn't back them in. You didn't stop them on a three and out and get the ball back at the 50. So it makes the decision to go for it there even worse.
Well, I think, I agree with you. And I think that when they lose the game at the end by, 5, 6 points, you're going to remember that fourth and 1 foot. That you decided to go for it, or when they lose by three, or when they lose by one, or whatever it is. I think that play, that moment was a defining moment in the game. Two of them. A, the fumble by Gordon gave him 7, and now that play right there was the kiss of death. Both plays in the first half, they should be winning this game, 7-0 at worst, and then at best 14-0. It should be 14-0. Think about it. They fumbled the ball, and the Titans scored, and now they fumbled. Or, they gave it up at the goal line because they couldn't get a yard, and that's amazing to me. And I actually put a lot of it on the front because you got great backs in Lindsey and Gordon, and you got a good quarterback, whatever, and you can't get a yard. Who do you blame? You blame the head coach? You blame the offensive coordinator for the play calling, or do you blame the trenches that couldn't block and get you 1 yard? I mean, at some point it's on the field, the play happens, right? So in my view, it's the front. You blame the front because they couldn't push them back to give you 1 yard to score a touchdown or whatever. Right. Any way you slice it, they didn't block and they didn't get them any space and they didn't get them any room to score. They couldn't get 1 yard. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, so they tried running it. They tried running it on first down. They went nowhere. On the second down play, Locke absolutely missed a guy. I don't know who it was going across the goal line, but he threw it about 12 feet over his head. So that could have been a touchdown on two. But then on third down, they tried ramming it up the middle with Gordon. Get absolutely nothing. And then the dopey flip play on fourth down. So all in all, just loser set of downs right there for the Broncos. And now you're right. They'll probably lose this game now.
Hit the golf links today again, Carver High.
Did you really? You got out there again? 18?
Yeah, I played 18. I played a good course today and I did all right. I played really well from like the seventh hole on. So I played it around I pretty much played par golf from the seventh hole on, and I might have had one bogey or two maximum from seven on, but I had the first six holes. I had at least, I ended up, I think 12 over for the day. I think I had like 84, but I literally had six of the eight, or I think I was about, maybe the first three holes I was six over. I had like a double and a bogey, something like that. And then I may have had, I don't know. I ended up like 12 over. So I don't know. Maybe I had three or four, but from seven and eight, maybe nine, I might've had a bogey. But then on the back, I pretty much played par golf. I was really hitting the ball well and landing on the greens, in reg. And I was crushing four irons because I have just absolutely given up on woods. I don't even hit them anymore at all. So today I started off with a wood and butchered it. And then like on the third hole, the second hole was a three, butchered that hole, doubled it. And then the third hole, I brought it out again and I doubled that hole. And then I just said, I'm done with this. And I never brought the wood out again. I did not hit a I don't hit a driver at all. I brought out a three wood. And then I wasn't feeling it with my hybrid. I would hit it in the fairway, but not on the tee. So I literally played 7 till 18 with a 4-iron off the tee every single shot. And I can rip a 4-iron, like, you know, I'd say 185, 190 max. And I can really get it going. And then I, you know, hit a 4-iron. On the big holes, I'd hit 4-iron, 4-iron wedge. And then on the par fours, I'd go 4-iron and then like a 6-iron in, right? And I was hitting them. I was hitting all the greens. So it was good today. Like, at least I started crappy and I was just livid and I was swearing and I was like, this sucks. I'm done. I'm done with this. I don't need this in my life. And then I was like, you know what? I think I know what's wrong with my swing. And I think I'm doing this wrong. I'm doing that wrong. I'm not turning and I'm not ripping my hips through. And I'm not going through the ball. I'm just, you know, using my arms. I'm using all swing and arms and not moving my body and turning. And then once I started doing that and just remembering to just full turn and just completely rip through with my hips, I started just crushing the ball. So it ended up being a good day and I ended up leaving happy. So I think I will continue golfing as opposed to retiring today, because I was about to like grab the clubs and throw them in a lake. I get sick of like going out and just not, because right. I'm capable of shooting well. And when I don't, and I just butcher holes and I'm doubling and, you know, bogeying and double bogeying every hole and just hitting and topping shots and chunking like wedges and hitting just like a 12-pound divot on the ground, I'm just like ready to leave. I'm just like grab my clubs and go back to the car and leave. I just don't want to. I'm not interested in being mad. So
I know it could be a very frustrating day out there. If you know. It's hard. It's a frustrating game. And if things don't go well for you, it makes you not want to come back. If you can hit a couple of shots that make you want to come back, that's what it's all about. I need to definitely get out a little bit more, because I do. As of now, we'll see if it gets canceled. But the only thing that hasn't been canceled yet this year is, of course, the Cape Cod Irish Open, which is still on the calendar for October the 21st through the 23rd. So we'll see. A little late fall crisp conditions for the Cape Cod Irish Open this year, late October. So we'll see if we still get that in the books this year.
Do you usually play it earlier?
It's usually the weekend after Columbus Day because
when
of scheduling. Yeah, you know, it usually falls anywhere between like the 12th and the 17th or 18th, something like that. So it's not that far off the normal date, but that late. I mean, October championship Saturday, October 23rd. I mean, it's got a chance to be real brisk.
I mean, it could be Cape 40 Cod degrees.
Oh, it has in the past.
You can barely hold the club. Jesus. At least they got a lot of booze. All right, so 16 seconds left in the half, 3rd and 12 Titans. They have a timeout left, so if they don't get the first down here, they'll kick the field goal. And let's see what Tannehill does here under pressure. I mean, that's right on the line. I don't know if he caught it. It looks like they're going to give him the catch. The ball definitely squirted out. But they're going to give him the catch. And there's 7 seconds left, so they're going to spike the ball. And do they take a crack at the end zone once, or do they just kick it?
16 seconds?
No, there's 7 seconds.
Oh, 7 seconds? Yeah, you're a little ahead of me. That's tough.
He never caught that ball. He dropped it. So that's a drop anyway. I can't even believe they're not calling that a drop. They're reviewing it. I got to see it again. It looks to me like it hit the ground. I got to see it again, because what I just saw, the angle I just saw, looked like he dropped the ball. Well, I definitely saw him.
I just saw it live, and he didn't look like he caught it.
Yeah, like, oh, you saw it live. It looked like he dropped it. Well, I saw it in super slow-mo, and it looked like he definitely dropped it. Because
I would kick this.
In fast speed, it looked like it squirted out anyway. In super slow-mo, it looked like he never caught it to begin with. I have to see it now. You would think that ESPN would be showing this pass over and over right now, but for some reason they want to show, I guess, promoting Miami against Louisville in a college football game. They should be showing this play
Saturday night. I just saw it, but you know, the first replay that you saw a few minutes ago, and it definitely hit the ground. That's not a catch. So that's going to come back. Go. And either way, whether it's a catch or not, whether they get the 10 yards or not, I'm kicking here. There's 7 seconds left. Points are clearly at a premium in this game. Denver didn't take the points on the other end of the field at the one. I think that you need to take the points here. And I believe, I'm not 100% on this, I think Tennessee might get the ball to start the second half. So I would have to, that's a nice little swing there for them.
Yeah, you gotta get the points.
Denver gets the ball to start the second half, so I was wrong on that one.
Denver gets the ball. But either or, here's the deal. Denver blew it on the fourth down. They should have kicked the field goal because, like I said, they couldn't get a yard. If you can't get a yard in three tries, why would you go for it on the fourth try? What do you think, it's going to be different because you're banging your head against the wall and it's not going to hurt when you just keep banging your head against the wall?
I got to bring this up because I finally saw them promoting the Miami-Louisville game that you were just talking about. Now, I know that, as we talked about on Coast to Coast today, the top 25 is a little bit more diluted because you don't have those Big Ten and the Pac-12 teams in there. Right. Miami 17th in the country after that win on Thursday night. They're 17th in the country.
Wow.
Look, I know they won the game against who did they play? UAB. But
that's embarrassing.
And Louisville's 18th, and they didn't cover either. Get right there, or they just barely covered that game. Whoever they played on Saturday. Wow.
They're playing Louisville this week at Louisville,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. That's the Saturday night game.
Well, they'll go lose that game. You know, can you imagine? Like they can't. They couldn't score at all. He missed the field goal.
Louisville
so
sucks too.
Titans missed the field goal. We're tied at the half.
Here, who missed it? Your boy Steven Gostkowski
missed it. I think he got blocked. I think Harris may have blocked it. So anyway, here's the deal. Miami, let's remember, they couldn't score a single point against Louisiana Tech in the Independence Bowl. Not once could they even score. So you're telling me, and they, you know, but they couldn't cover against, I mean, they did cover they covered the 15.5. They won by 17. But like I said, on Coast to Coast and Pharrell on a bench, they should have won by 30, but they couldn't win by 30 because they were 17 better than UAB in their third year, whatever it is, of having a college football program. That's embarrassing. I don't care what you say. Like 20 years ago, they would have won 60-0. Just like Texas did, just like Oklahoma did, just like West Virginia did. West Virginia sucks, and they still put up 56.
West Virginia, the whole team got suspended before the game.
they still put up 56 and covered. I think they won 56-10. All I know is Miami, they were bragging about their running game, bragging about their crib jewelry, their turnover chain, all this other nonsense. The reality is UAB. I mean, so let me ask you this question. Duke gave Notre Dame all they could handle. What is USF going to do with Notre Dame this week in South Bend? Is that easier, that game? I would assume it'd be easier than Duke. Because I think
I don't
Duke
know.
Would...
I think it's about the same. I don't think the USF is you know, the spread's a little bit bigger. Last week against Duke it was 21.5. This week it's 25, I think, or 24. So I think that Duke and USF about the same. You know, how about this?
I think it's even higher.
Don't screw around with them like you did to Duke last Saturday. Can you go and put a little beat up on somebody, and then they play Wake Forest the week after that at Wake Forest. So big start to the season for the Irish here. Duke, USF.
26, Wake that Forest. Number, Notre Dame. Notre Dame's laying 26.
Yeah, so it was 21.5 against Duke last week.
Yeah, at kickoff, but it was 19 when it started. It went to 21, but I didn't think they looked good at all. I know you watched that game. I watched it. I didn't think they looked good at all. Ian Book didn't look good.
I thought he threw a couple of bad interceptions. I liked how they ran the ball in the second half. That's like the only thing that I can tell you was positive about the game. The kid ran really well, and he ran for a couple touchdowns. That's it.
So I just want to see if I can find this game, because it might be difficult. I have to really...
The Dodger-Padre game?
Yeah. So here I am searching again through these stupid extra inning channels, and they only list them as the same word, right? It's always, oh, there it is. They're in a break. I got the game. It's in a break. When they're in a break, they don't run the commercials on the extra inning package. They just
give you that sign up on the screen. What's the score right now? What do we got going on down in Slam Diego?
We'll be right back. So as far as the Padres are kicking their ass 6-1 in the eighth.
Wow, Kershaw didn't pitch well tonight, huh?
No, and I bet on the Padres tonight.
Slam Diego.
Slam Diego. That was my number three play. And then the White Sox are up 3-1 after eight on the Twins. That was my number one play.
Nice job by the Phillies today, losing 5 out of 7 to the Marlins this weekend. 7-game series, lost 5 games to them. That's awful.
That is really, is that not the kiss of death?
Yeah, that's bad. Especially, and the Phillies went into that series actually playing well. They had a good week and a half, 2 weeks, got themselves in the mix. I mean, they could still obviously make the playoffs, but them and the Marlins were kind of neck and neck there, and now the Marlins have pushed ahead of them, beating them 5 out of 7 times.
Hadn't they won 9 of 10 or something going into it?
Yeah, they had been playing really good, 12 out of 15, something in that area.
All right, so the Cardinals and Brewers are tied at 2s, bottom 8. The Reds won 2 from the Pirates, 3-1 and 9-4. Marlins won that game 6-2 over the Phillies. The Brewers took game 1, 2-1. I hit that. I bet the Cardinals in game 2. I hit the Mariners game 1 of the doubleheader with the A's. They won it 6-5 Seattle. And then I had the A's in game 2. They won it 9-0. So, again, another good day betting. Orioles 14-1 over the Braves. I hit the Dallas Stars tonight, who won in overtime over the Vegas Golden Knights. Are you surprised at all that Vegas is packing it up and going home?
Yeah, I'm surprised. And I'm surprised in the way that they lost the series. And honestly, all the credit to the Stars, because the Stars basically, you know, played the first 2 rounds against Calgary and Colorado like a pond hockey game. And it was against what they normally do. They were playing 6-5 games every night, scoring and giving up a ton of goals. And then it's like Vegas watched that and said, oh, all right, you want to play that way? And then the Stars showed up in the West Final and said, nah, you know what? We're going to play like we did in the regular season, and we're going to play slow and tight and grind. And I don't think Vegas was ready for it. And the chances that Vegas did have, they couldn't convert. They couldn't score. And what a job by Dallas. Jeez. I don't know if I can – if they play the Lightning, which they're going to play, the Lightning are going to win one of these games against the Islanders. I think the Lightning would be a decent favorite. They're going to be a decent favorite over Dallas. Decent favorite. I don't know if I'm going to be able to back Dallas in that series as a dog. I'm not sure. But they've beaten everybody else, and they just beat Vegas, who also one of the best teams. So maybe there will be a little life for Dallas here in the final if you want to bet them.
Well, I think at some level they didn't get there because they suck. I think they're a good team. Played great. They're a really good team. Right now they're on fire and they're playing great. So their confidence is through the roof. By the way, Will Myers just hit a shot to right center. It's 7-1 Padres over the Dodgers. They're having a big season.
And you know who I really like on Dallas, and I wouldn't mind, I'd like to see him win, is I like Bonus. He's one of those guys that's been around the game for, you know, 50 years. He's been a head coach of, like, you know, 12 teams. Most of the time it's him replacing a fired coach, like he is this year in Dallas. He was the replacement for the other guy that got let go. Remember him with the drinking thing, Montgomery?
Yeah.
The middle of the year, they let him go. Bonus fills in for him here. Now he brings the team to the Cup Final. He coached the Islanders when Milbury got whacked for like a half a season or a season and a half. So I like Rick Bonus. He's an older guy who's been around the league a long time. I'd like to see him win. That would be something cool.
Well, he's having fun. He went ballistic tonight when they won that game.
He sure has.
He was going ballistic. Did you see him? He was all jumping up and down and getting crazy.
Good for Rick.
That's cool. So that was a huge win for Dallas tonight,
and,
for sure.
And also on that team, Pavelski. Because Pavelski obviously went to the dance with the Sharks, and he had a lot of years with the Sharks where they were the quote-unquote best team and didn't do it. I wouldn't mind seeing Pavelski win either.
Yeah, he's been through hell, right? And I'm just looking. I wanted to see. So I got conference postgame on, but I can't find. It's funny. I can't find those other games. How is that possible? You know what I mean? Like, I was looking for. I don't know. I just don't get it. Like, oh, here's the one. That's the one I was looking for. The White Sox trying to close out the Twins in the ninth. And there's one out. They're up 3-1. That was my top play, the White Sox. Are you surprised at all how good they are, that they've got the best record in the American League?
I thought that they would be good this year. I didn't think that they would be this good. You know, I didn't think that they would be, like you were saying today, best record in the American League type of good. I thought that they would be a playoff team. I thought that they would be improved. I didn't think they'd be this good.
You know what I think they're going to be, though? I think they're going to be the team with the best record that'll still lose in the playoffs. But they'll get there, and then it'll all fall apart.
That's like they'll play an experienced team like Cleveland that's been there a couple times the last few years, and they'll get like knocked off by Cleveland or something, or Houston. Yeah. Like they'll get matched up with Houston, and Houston will take them out.
Yep, that's what I think is going to happen. I think it's written all over them. They look really good when it incredible when it doesn't matter, and then when it does matter, they'll bite it. All right, Varela on the bench. By the way, the White Sox now up 3-2 on the Twins with two outs in the ninth, and they're melting down a little bit. And I know they got a runner at second and two outs, so they got to get another out. Oh, they took the run off the board. It's 3-1. It was 3-2, but they took the run off the board. I guess the ball got trapped under the wall or something. Morenzi's up next with Sports Rage. Let's bring Gabe in. We were watching the couple things. We were watching Dallas. That was an incredible comeback, down 2-0. I bet on him tonight to win that game and to win the series. Nice comeback overtime win over Vegas. Are you surprised Vegas is going home?
No, you know what? I'm not, actually. The Dallas Stars, amazing run, Scotty, that they're able. You look at the Calgary series, they were winning games 5-4. They can win a higher scoring game. They can win a 1-0, a 2-1 style game. Great resiliency. And this is one of the amazing things, actually. Historically, we'll look back on this as far as the bubbles and the hubs and the point spreads and the money lines not really changing. You know, look at the Miami Heat, good example against the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, +5, +5, +5. It's like they keep winning, guys, but they keep getting 5 points. You know, the Vancouver Canucks, Scotty, against Las Vegas. Las Vegas won the series in 7 games. Every freaking game, the Vancouver Canucks were like +210, +190, +220. So, yeah, they won 3 out of the 7 games, but you won a lot of money by betting on them. And I said the same thing to Cam tonight. I said, look, the Dallas Stars are up 3-1, but they're +155. I mean, come on. I mean, you have to take the Dallas Stars here out of principle alone. Hell of a run for the Dallas Stars.
So I did the, just off the record, I did, they asked me to do, a review. And I said, I just watched Gabe and Cam. They love each other. They're super funny. I think their shows kick ass. Have a nice day.
there's the review.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast. Have a good show, Sports Rager.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.